visiting with Western Illinois Congresswoman Sherry Bustos. A big week in Washington with the passage of the Farm Bill, and Representative Bustos serving as a Farm Bill conferee. First up, your reaction working on the process.
Well, in the end, we got to a good place. We came together, Democrat, Republican, Senator, House member, and, you know, we ended up with a Farm Bill that, frankly, Jim, we probably could have gotten there before the current Farm Bill expired, but hey, at least we passed this at a time when our family farmers need a little certainty.
Well, tell us some of the pieces that you are really pleased with.
Well, my number one priority for the Farm Bill was a strong farm safety net and crop insurance program. We got that out of this. As I just said, this bill provides much needed certainty for our farmers during a time that they're facing tariffs and a downturn in the ag economy. And I think probably a third point worth making is the Farm Bill expands the tools and resources that are available for those who are living in rural Illinois, rural America. And we actually tackle pressing issues like rural broadband. That's a high priority for me, and we delivered on that. And you know, we've got this opioid epidemic that we're dealing with in rural communities all over the country, and we address that as well.
Yeah, and I know some of the communications I had a chance to review from your office. If you want to highlight a couple of these, it includes the Farmers of Tomorrow Act. What about that?
Yeah, so actually there were bills that I wrote that were included in the final version of the Farm Bill. So what the Farmers of Tomorrow Act does, and again, it was rolled into the overall Farm Bill, it changes regulations that make it easier for young farmers and veterans to buy land and put roots down. It is, you know, we've talked about this a little bit for every I think it's four farmers. I don't have these stats off the top of my head now, but farmers are aging, and we all know that. We need to make sure that the younger generation has an opportunity to go into farming. And specifically with rising farmland real estate prices, what this part of the Farm Bill would do, it would basically modernizes and updates the requirements so more younger farmers have access to USDA loans. It's been difficult in the past. The rules and regulations have been pretty stringent and takes years for some of the younger farmers to get into farming, and this will make that easier. So that's one of the bills that we wrote out of our office that were included. A couple others I think worth mentioning, we actually have added a rural health liaison, and that was a bill that we wrote out of our office. But what this does is it creates a new rural health liaison at the USDA that will be able to improve coordination between funding and delivering the delivery of healthcare in rural Illinois and in rural America. So I'm proud of that as well. We've got access to healthcare is an issue all over the country, especially in the rural parts of our country, and this makes that easier.
And to kind of piggyback off that then, another component is the Addiction Recovery for Rural Communities Act, and you hinted at that a little bit in your opening comments, dealing with this opioid crisis that has really hit rural areas of not only Illinois, but really the nation pretty hard.
Yeah, so this does not add to the cost of helping people with opioid addictions, but what it does is it sets aside 20% of the USDA's distance learning and telemedicine program that can specifically be used for grants in substance abuse treatment in smaller towns. We've been hit in rural America harder than in urban area, and I think that's urban areas in our country. And I think that's actually something that you may not realize it on the surface, but we need to make sure that we've got programs and access to treatment, and we do that through the new Farm Bill by this 20% of the funding being set aside for that.
I know, Representative Bustos, when the national media would take on the Farm Bill discussion, most of their attention centered around the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and this work requirement debate. Now, not so much in the ag medium, and there's more to the Farm Bill discussion than that. But a little bit about the headlines, I guess, the SNAP debate, but the work requirement not going to be included in this new farm bill. A little bit about your reaction and your position on that.
Well, that actually ended up being one of the major holdups when we came together, the House and the Senate, to try to work out the differences between the two bills. And going into this, we had the House Democrats, along with the Senate Republicans and Senate Democrats, we were all on the same page of working out the nutrition program. The one outlier was were the House Republicans. And look, the last farm bill already had pilot programs to make sure that those who were receiving help through the nutrition program needed that help and were deserving of that help. And these pilot programs had not yet completely played out. And so what we were saying is let those play out and make sure that everybody who is deserving of the nutrition program gets it. And so the House Republicans decided to get on board with us, and that's why we were able to pass this farm bill. And, you know, the people who get help through SNAP or the nutrition program, look, it's not easy to get that help, and these are people who there's very little fraud and abuse of the program, despite what some people say. I mean, we had, I don't even know how many hearings, Jim, but many, many hearings to make sure that we were addressing any kind of abuse of the program. And I think we ended up in a good place where if people are deserving of being on the nutrition program, they will get the help that they need. If there's waste and abuse, we will address that. And I think we ended up in a good place. I think the last point worth noting in this is there have been over the years attempts to take a look at separating the nutrition program from the farm bill. I can tell you firsthand by working with my colleagues, both Democrats and Republicans, that would not be a good idea for our family farmers or for those who need a little help with making sure that they can feed their families. Because what happens is you have urban lawmakers that would not be supportive of these farm policies if we don't have the nutrition program as part of the overall farm bill. I think to separate those two, as we look forward, would not be a good idea. We would not have the votes necessary to pass the farm bill if that would happen.
All right. One final point. I know, early in the discussions when we were talking to you about this issue, you expressed concern about one of the versions or talk of potentially, I think, zeroing out rural development. Now, I know I've been at a few events with you where, we talk about some of these water and sewer extensions or those infrastructure projects that receive grant funding and a participating loan from USDA, can be a sewer extension, as I mentioned, or some type of water tower or water main type of project. Now, the rural development component, what does that involve with the new farm bill?
Oh, well, we ended up in a good place. It is not zeroed out. In fact, as part of rural development, we grew the funding for high-speed internet in rural communities 15 times what it was before. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, and it is, but it is also something that is very much needed. We have 23 million rural Americans who don't have access to high-speed internet. So what this additional part of rural development adds is that there's a new loan and grant combination program to fund high-speed internet deployment to many areas, to most areas in our country now. So we are going from funding rural high-speed internet from $25 million to $350 million. And that is a big part of this rural development. But Jim, when we've talked about this before, in the congressional district that I'm fortunate enough to serve, 60% of our towns are 1,000 people or fewer, and 85% are 5,000 people or fewer. So why was I fighting so hard for rural development funding? It's because of that. These are the communities that I serve and I'm proud to serve, and I want to make sure that we can address things like broadband and making sure that, the water projects and the sewer projects that we have in smaller towns, we can help fund those. When you have a town of 1,000 people in your tax base, you don't have enough money to fund those programs. You need the help of the U.S. Department of Agriculture to come in and offer low interest loans or grants to help make those projects happen. And we accomplished that in this farm bill.
One final point with you, with the new Congress as it relates to the House Ag Committee. So you'll go from the minority party to the majority party with the new Congress. Can you talk a little bit about what does that mean for your role as it relates, I guess, to your congressional district and also to the state of Illinois?
Well, it's the Ag Committee has historically been a very bipartisan committee, and I've been proud to serve on that and be able to work with my friends across the aisle. I don't see it changing significantly. The incoming chairman of the House Ag Committee is a gentleman named Colin Peterson. He's out of Minnesota. He has deep roots in ag. I don't think there's anybody in Washington, D.C. who understands family farmers better than Colin Peterson. I think he will do a great job. He is, if you look at the spectrum of Democrats, he is considered the most bipartisan Democrat in all of Congress, and he's going to be the one leading our Ag Committee. I see good things ahead. I see a committee that will work together. We'll make sure that we address the challenges that our family farmers are facing. You know, look, right now we are still in the middle of this unnecessary trade war where our corn and our bean prices remain low. The president has made promises about ethanol that have not been delivered on. The president is saying the right things as it pertains to ethanol and our corn and our bean farmers, but the policies have not followed up on what he's saying. And so now, as of January 3rd, when Democrats will be in the majority, it will be my intention to work with the administration and making sure that he delivers on the promise of having year-round E15 and making sure that especially our corn growers are not, and our soybean growers are not suffering as a result of this trade war and then not following through on the policies that have been promised. And I'll make sure that I work closely with the administration to deliver on those promises.
Those words from Western Illinois Congresswoman Sherry Bustos. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate you having me on.